Welcome back. One of the many benefits of having the pandemic start to wane is that the Quincy Symphony Orchestra gets to be back in person. There are two performances for the rest of their season this year, and the president, the conductor, are here to tell us all about them. Brian Hickox, Yoichi Urogawa. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, great to be here.
The music men are back.
Good to see you without masks.
It is. Nice to see our smiling, shiny faces. Absolutely. Brian, has the symphony been in person at all this year in 2022?
We've regrouped.
Yes.
We're rehearsing and we're performing, and it's not only the confidence that we had in many of the protocols that we initially put in place, making distancing, etc. But now where our string players are still masking, our audiences are still masking, but we've found that none of our musicians or anyone that we know that we've been performing close with has contracted any contagious virus.
So it's fantastic.
Yeah, we're thrilled with that. It's, you know, it was a lot of work to put that all together.
I'm sure. Yeah,
the logistics were challenging, but we've prevailed.
Have you had any in-person shows in 2022, or is this going to be the first?
No, we already have had at the Performance Center at Quincy High School.
Okay.
And we've got this upcoming program on the 27th of March.
Yes, so two more this year, two classical music concerts that we're going to talk about as well. So you've been rehearsing in person also?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. You're getting back to it. How does it feel?
You know, it was odd at first.
I bet.
Because we had been apart from one another for so many months and months. It was about a year and a half, actually.
Yeah.
And although we stayed in touch via email, phone calls, and some Zoom meetings, it's certainly not the same. Some of the logistics in trying to perform as an ensemble through Zoom was beyond our technology. And so we did some individual performances, but not necessarily as a as an ensemble.
Yeah, and Yoichi, how do you conduct an orchestra over Zoom?
We don't have the technology yet.
Yeah.
Maybe, hopefully, in the next couple of years, they might be able to figure something out. But there's always that sound delay.
Exactly, yeah.
And so it's impossible to do anything like that.
Synchronization is key, right?
It's absolutely key.
Yeah.
You know, the things that, if people have seen YouTube things of people playing in an orchestra or something where they do that, but what they do is they have a click track.
And it's all edited.
Yeah, all edited. Yeah. They listen in their ear to a click track, and then they play to that, and then that you can layer. But if you're doing something live, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, it's more
I'm
improv.
Sure, yeah, right. I'm sure people, there are people, and if you have a fast enough internet connection, there may be some people who are working on that technology, but it's not widely available yet.
Yeah, so there's one limitation to virtual world for sure.
Yeah, no, and it's great to be back with everybody making music. For everybody it was a tough time, but certainly if you enjoy making music with other people, it was there was nothing going on.
Yeah, and you don't get the audience feedback either, in that setting at all. That's crucial, right?
That's an important element, in speaking to a click track. our origin of our click track is Yoichi.
Right.
Setting the tempos and the beat. However, it's lost if it's simply mechanical. Mm-hmm. What Yoichi and great conductors do is they bring an emotion and a feeling, a cohesiveness between the conductor and the performers and within the performers themselves, playing off one another, so to speak.
Sure. No, I understand.
Even the audience. You know, the sound is not just that which comes from a musical instrument, but the environment that it's in.
Yes.
And a full hall compared to an empty hall
has
a completely different feel.
Yep.
I attended one of the first reopenings of the Boston Symphony at Symphony Hall in Boston, and Andres Nelson's was so thrilled to have the audience there as he spoke. It just had a completely different feel, and it was engaging.
Yeah.
So,
well, I understand. You know, it's like a chef who makes a 12-course meal, and there's nobody there to eat it. You know, you put out this beautiful music, and people may be absorbing it virtually, but if you're not there to experience that, you don't get that kind of left hanging.
We were actually so thrilled with our first public performance, as we just discussed, that we had such great attendance. You know, we were very strict about distancing between groups, and we were running out of space in the hall because of that. It was so exciting to see people wanted to get back out.
Yes. Will that still be the case at your upcoming two performances, Brian?
We're requiring masks.
You are?
Yes,
okay.
We are. However, the distancing component has been much, much more reduced.
Okay.
And I believe that we'll be opening up the balcony levels as well.
Oh, okay.
Such that there'll be plenty of space. But we're afraid we're going to have to turn people away.
Wow. That, I don't think that's ever happened before, actually.
We've had some full, really? Had some full attendance.
Okay. But it's nice, especially coming after COVID.
Yes.
Because we were all kind of worried, are people going to come, right?
So did the music reflect kind of a celebration, Yoichi, during that first performance?
Let's see. Well, you know, we were doing Beethoven, so that's always celebratory.
Okay. Well, that's right. It was his delayed birthday party.
That's right. It was his delayed birthday party. And then we had Tis the Season, the Holiday Pops, in concert with the schools. And we performed with some of the students and with the teachers too,
yes,
from the
that's right.
Quincy Public Schools. So that's always a highlight of our season. And this next concert, we're going to have a soloist who's a violinist in the Boston Symphony,
wow.
Victor Romano. He's going to come play. And the sweet story is that long before he was a virtuoso violinist in the Boston Symphony, as a 10-year-old, he played in the Quincy Symphony.
Oh. Okay.
And there are some photos of him sitting in the violin section. His feet don't even touch the ground.
Is that right?
10-year-old Victor Romo. And then later, I think he and his brothers, the whole family is musical, did a performance of the Beethoven Triple with the Quincy Symphony. And so he's coming back to perform with us. I think it's we're not going to wait another 50 years. We won't be around another 50 years.
Back to his roots.
Forget
where he came from.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're thrilled and we're really looking forward to working with him.
That's nice. What I mentioned to Yoichi when we first discussed the Mendelssohn, which he'll be performing, the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, is that we put him out on loan to the BSO for 50 years.
And now you want him back.
You want him back.
So this is Classical Concert number 2, Sunday, March 27th, 2:30 p.m., Lloyd Hill Performing Arts Center at Quincy High School. Tell us about the whole show, Yoichi. What's it going to sound like?
So in addition to that, we're going to do an overture by Brahms, Academic Festival Overture. He got this honorary degree, and as a result, he wrote this piece, and it kind of incorporates student songs in there. It sounds like a regular classical piece, but if you know the history behind it, there's a drinking song in there.
As a matter of fact, the movie...
99 bottles of beer on the wall.
It's not playing. Oh, okay. It's actually playing with the bassoons.
I think in the 1970s or 80s, there was a movie called Animal House with John Belushi.
Yes, I remember.
The opening scene is the Brahms Academic Festival Overture.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that right? I didn't know that.
Okay, we're all going to have to go back and play that again.
So Animal House comes to Quincy Symphony, right?
That can be the headline, right? No horses involved, though, right?
No, that's a whole different story.
Okay. Is this a full performance, Yoichi, the whole orchestra?
Yes, okay. The whole orchestra. And then we're doing a piece by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. He was an English composer. His mother was an English woman, and his father was an African. Hmm. And he wrote this gorgeous, it's a very English-sounding piece. We talk about Downton Abbey or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
but
right.
It's called the Petite Suite. It's got four contrasting movements, and it's a gorgeous piece. So we haven't played his music in a long time, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting because he would delve into some African music as well, given his heritage on his father's side. And yet this, as Yoichi says, is so quintessentially even the countryside of England.
Okay.
I'm sure concertgoers will go out humming some of the themes.
Oh, really? Okay. So they're familiar tunes. Yeah. Nice. It sounds like it has a springtime, which is nice. It will be spring at that point. Yeah. So a springtime feel to it.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Intermission in between? Is this
there will be
the
an
full?
Okay. Short intermission. Okay. And then Victor's going to be the soloist in the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, which is it's one of the all-time popular violin concertos. It's very light and bright and also has a kind of springtime feel to it.
Yeah, nice. And then there is a third classical music concert later this year. Let's see, Sunday, May 8th, which is Mother's Day, by the way.
That's right. So bring all your moms.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to have a young artist performing with us on piano. He was our scholarship winner of the concerto competition
in back 2020, wow. And he was supposed to play with us in May of 2020. Of course, we went into lockdown in March.
Right.
So he's going to come play with us this year.
Okay.
And he, like, there's so many, we've talked about it before,
yep.
He's there's so many extraordinary talents everywhere today. Young pianists, violinists. We don't worry about the future, because and oftentimes we sit there and go, we're judging
right.
this person.
Yeah, I've said that before. Right.
And I'll never forget one time we had there was a violinist in the orchestra, Bruce Norian, really nice gentleman, and he said once after some young kid had played a violin concerto, you know, just up and down the violin perfectly, he goes, I probably practice more hours than that kid has been alive, and I still don't play that well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, aren't there folks that just have a natural ability, you know, almost
incredible.
A savant level?
Yeah, I mean, there is that talent, but there, make no mistake that these kids also work really hard. I mean, you can have a lot of talent, but to get to this, the level that we hear often when they come and play for us.
Yes.
That's also a lot of work.
It's an amazing amount of work.
Is it?
You know, there's an old saying that it takes 10,000 hours of repetitive, perfected practice to become masterful.
Mm. Okay, so you can have the raw talent, but you need to hone that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
There's a great book out there called Talent Is Never Enough.
Hmm. Interesting. You know what I wanted to ask both of you, given what's going on in the world today in Ukraine, has that impacted your colleagues in that part of the world in the music? In the music world, do you have contacts with folks in either Ukraine or Russia that are speaking about what's going on, and what do they say?
I've seen groups performing out in the open as inspiration for their countrymen, you know, during this so horrific, challenging time, and it brings a great camaraderie, certainly, or inspiration for them to go that extra mile in their, if it's an exodus, as they're leaving the country because of the scarcity of water, power, fuel, food, or the fear of being injured or killed.
Yes.
So from that element, we're seeing musicians step forward.
Really?
I don't have any personal interactions.
No.
Okay.
One thing we were planning to do, I guess it's okay to say, I mean, we always play the Star Spangled Banner at our concerts.
Right.
And as a tribute and to be thinking about people in Ukraine, we're planning to do the Ukrainian national anthem as well at
really?
Our concert.
Yeah. Okay.
Just as a show of solidarity and a wish for peace in that region of the world. Yeah.
Very good. So, I did see a video of a young girl actually in a shelter singing the Ukrainian national anthem. So it's interesting. Music, even in that setting, you know, can be soothing, can be a relief. Yeah.
Music is humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. How's the membership, Brian, going?
With it's interesting.
Yes.
We have had after being off for a year and a half, we had many people relocate.
I know.
And so our musician ranks diminished a bit.
Yes.
So we are putting out auditions for folks who may want to join the orchestra.
Okay.
We had with a year and a half, someone who may have been needing to work in downtown Boston now moved out to the mountains of the Berkshires and to commute to on a weekly basis to Quincy, maybe a little bit too much.
Sure, yeah.
So we're looking for musicians. Feel free to jot off an email, president@quincysymphonyorchestra.org.
Okay.
And I'll put you in touch with the appropriate section leader to discuss membership in the QSO.
Okay, good to know.
And particularly strings. People ought to know that it's a we take the music seriously, but we don't. We're not that serious, right? I mean, in the sense
that
people, we try to welcome, to be a welcoming area, a safe place to make music, as it were, and mistakes, we all make mistakes, all that stuff is cool, but if you're interested in coming to join us, they should be in touch with Brian.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. And as manifested by 50 years ago, a 10-year-old sitting in with us.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he wasn't quite the 10-year-old. But we've had young people play with us, from high school, from the high schools, and we love it. We love it. I think the young people get something out
of
it, and the older people get something out of it too. It's 'cause music brings people together.
And I bet the audience likes it as well when they see
definitely.
That. Yeah. Any outdoor performances planned for later this year? Are you aware of?
We're in discussion. With
okay.
We're not got anything clear yet,
okay.
but there is discussion about it. So we're hoping that we'll be able to work something out.
That's great because I was able to attend the concert you did with the Quincy. Choral Society, September, I think it was.
Yeah. And
I think it was a great experience.
Yeah,
it really was
a
nice collaboration.
The city and the mayor have been incredibly supportive of the arts, and we're very grateful for that. And I think it's a win-win situation for everybody. And we certainly enjoy performing outdoors.
It was great to hear from members of the community coming up with so much enthusiasm about enjoyment of the concert out on the Hancock Adams Common.
Yeah.
They we get typical feedback, but this one was even more over the top. It was great to see the enthusiasm that they had for it.
Well, it just seemed to be such a natural collaboration. I can't believe it never happened before.
Well, we did do that at the opening of the
But
the more the merrier. We love doing it. It's just so I'm sure we're going to do something at some point this year.
Yeah. And Sarah LaBrie is the director now, the first female director.
Yeah, wonderful young conductor, and she's great to work with.
And we've had discussions about more collaborative works. Upcoming
okay.
years. So
stay
we'll look
tuned.
To those seasons.
Yeah. Good. I have to talk about money. Brian, Quincy Symphony is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, so financially, how are things?
Well, it's been interesting because a few years ago we took the stance that we weren't going to sell tickets.
I remember.
That was that we're here for the community.
Right.
We're a community orchestra. And as such, we found that people with their generosity at the front door were making donations far in excess of what a ticket would have been.
Okay.
So it's interesting. Sometimes, oftentimes, the more one gives, without even asking, one receives.
You get it back.
Yeah. So thank you to all of those that have stuffed our coffers with donations, and that's kept us going.
That's great.
We still have challenges, of course.
Yeah.
On a concert by concert basis, and we appreciate anything that folks can do.
That is great to hear. Right through your website is a good place. You're on social media, I know, as well. So
QuincySymphonyOrchestra.org.
Yes.
There's a donate button right there.
Nice. Guys, thank you so much. Great to talk to you, and welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
Very excited.
Yeah. Very welcome.
Take care.